Cube's Big Three is back. The most physical, fierce, and competitive basketball league on earth returns to CBS this Saturday. Three-time Big Three MVP ISO Joe Johnson and the reloaded Detroit Amps battle two-time Big Three championship coach Steven Jackson's DMV trilogy, followed by Big Three's most intense rivalry. Defending champions Miami 305 and Michael Beasley chasing his third straight MVP take on Dwight Howard, coach Nick Young, and the LA Riot. Watch Big Three Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on CBS. Catch replays Monday, 8 p.m. on BET.
Welcome to Moving Week at Ohio State. Monday was move-in day. Buckeyes returned to practice on Tuesday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. And by the end of the week, Ryan Day is expecting some movement on the roster and maybe some clarity on a bunch of positions, maybe quarterback, maybe not. We did talk to Ryan Day, Billy Fessler, the Ohio State quarterbacks coach, Lincoln Kienholz, Julian Sain, and Tavian St. Clair on Tuesday. And these are snap judgments. He's Berm. I am Austin Ward. It's more quarterback talk, Berm.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't think we weren't going to get anything that was entirely earth-shattering or eye-opening. But, you know, I think the thing that I take away from Ryan Day, first and foremost, is that he seems happier today than he did last week with the quarterbacks. And we don't know what happened on Tuesday's practice or if they – did they have practice on Monday?
No. They moved in, right? On Sunday.
So, but they've certainly – now, five practices in, you have a body of work to say, okay, now we can start to feel what's happening here. Billy Fessler was asked very specifically, what's the delineator? What's going to make the difference? And I don't think anybody should be surprised. The answer was consistency. Are these guys going to be consistent? Ryan Day said, I could pull up 10 plays that look terrible and then 30 that look great. And I don't know if that's the ratio you want at this point, but certainly, again, taking away from it, and we don't need to talk about quarterbacks that much. We've done it so much, but this is a real battle between Lincoln and Julian.
But they talked today. I mean, it's some insight into how they're handling
what it. What did you take away from their comments?
You know, I think Julian Sain is very focused on process. I don't know how many times I'd have to go back and count day by day, period by period, practice by practice, looking for improvement and developing. I felt that and noticed it to put his comments in perspective. Well, it's a bit of a cliche.
Yeah.
It's the mindset that you want as a quarterback. So you're moving on and you're trying to grow and learn from what happened before. But I did feel like, you know, if Thursday was a little bit of a rougher practice for him, based again on just what we saw, Friday was markedly better and Saturday was better than that. If that continues, you know, I think that there is further room for Julian Sain to develop than maybe there is for Lincoln Kienholz. That's my opinion. I don't know if Ryan Day shares that. He didn't really get into details about that, or at least in comparison to one another. They said they're both trying to do the same thing and they need to get into a scrimmage situation by the end of the week that's going to give them a lot more clarity. And, you know, I think that, so that was, I think Lincoln Kienholz is maybe more comfortable in this setting. This is the second time that Julian Sain has been in front of 50 to 60 Ohio State beat members, peppering him with questions about a competition where he really can't and doesn't need to answer what happened on one given day or where he feels like he is in comparison to Lincoln or if they're friends. I always sort of empathize with those quarterbacks in the midst of the battle because it's not fair or fun.
Right, because everyone's like, do you guys hate each other?
Yeah.
Which was kind of asked.
It was asked and phrased one way that was like, because Ryan Day, one of the few, I think, slip-ups that maybe he's ever made at a microphone. He's like, yeah, you expect you go into a room in a quarterback battle that you're going to hate the guy, and then you become best friends. And then it's like, hey, are you guys still in that period where you hate each other?
Yeah, which period is this?
Yeah, so I don't enjoy that part of it, and I try to separate, you know, when Billy Fessler and Ryan Day and Brian Hartline have to come together and make that choice about what direction they're going to go and set a pecking order and a depth chart for the Texas game. Of course, that has to be a head-to-head comparison, but I still feel like, as you said, after five practices, it is not a matter of Lincoln looking over on the other field to see what Julian is doing and Julian looking back at Lincoln. I don't think that that's the way this is working. They both have specific things that they're trying to improve on. And there were parts of Ryan Day's answers where I felt like he was building a case for what each one would do well and why you might be able to justify one decision over the other. I still don't think that there's any different outcome than what we've projected since January 21st. Yeah. But, I think, and Lincoln Kienholz sort of pointed to that as well with one of his answers. He's like, if they need, If that's what they want with the dual threat, if the athleticism, if that's something that comes off of the bench, you know, he's understanding and ready to do that. But that doesn't mean he's not competing in the moment.
Let me ask you this. One of the things I kind of took away from Ryan Day and Billy Fessler's conversation in some of the quarterbacks was that with Julian saying it feels like he's working on process, as you said, and with a quarterback process. And with Lincoln Kienholz, I think it's a combination of working on quarterback process and quarterback mechanics. And like, if you don't have to work on Julian Sain's mechanical part as much as you do Lincoln Kienholz, well, then there's less work to be done. And therefore, you figure he should have a leg up a little bit when it comes to the actual other part of playing the game, the actual playing the game. And so did you feel that there was that sort of discussion? Like Lincoln's, no one's going to deny the fact that Lincoln, from a quarterback readiness perspective, was behind. Because he just never played. It was not what he did all the time. But now you start to see, like, this is what it looks like when he starts to put it all together. And Billy Fessler called it drastic improvement from the spring. And I completely agree with it. We've seen it. And we've joked about the slant king and all the, like, the timing, the rhythm of Lincoln Kienholz throwing the ball is still a work in progress. Because even on Saturday, I hear multiple times saying, well, he held on to that too long, But when he's in timing, when he gets it off, like, he looks like what a quarterback's supposed to look like now.
I think it's the other part of the, I don't know, difficulty, interesting, fascinating part of this battle. Because when we talk about the skill sets being different, I think that the leadership and vocal leadership part, more specifically, are very different for these guys as well. And, you know, I don't mean that, again, I don't want there to be a controversy. I'm not trying to force there to be a controversy.
They're different people.
When Ryan Day, and he made a point of this, and I don't know that it's targeted specifically to Julian or just a simple statement of fact. Ryan Day finished up an answer about what you have to do to play the quarterback position, and he wrapped it up. He was done, and then he said, I'm going to add one more thing, which is that it is not just your ball placement, your accuracy, decision-making on the field. It is getting to the line of scrimmage, commanding a huddle, communicating with the rest of your team. And I think, you know, given the time in the program, it seems like Lincoln Kienholz would be, that's where the experience factor plays into that. And I don't think that that means that Lincoln has a leg up. I think it's a reminder to Julian Sain that it cannot be just about the mechanical stuff. Because if it is about the basic fundamentals of playing quarterback, then there wouldn't have been a competition. Yeah. Like Julian Sain is clearly better at that, like unequivocally. I think it cannot be, if Julian Sain does become too focused on that process, and he talked about footwork and all those other things, like that may be neglecting some of the rest when you have brought up Will Howard repeatedly and how that might factor into Ryan Day's thinking. That's the part that when you're looking at Julian Sain right now, I think Ohio State's saying, okay, you've got everything else. Let's bring this part along. And that's not as simple as just like going through a practice.
Let's just say this week will be a big week for the quarterbacks. And I got the sense from both Ryan Day and Billy Fessler that they would really like to have a pretty good sense of this is over by Sunday.
I think it's a goal. I don't know if it's realistic, to be honest.
That's certainly the goal. I mean, is it realistic? We don't know. But it seemed like Ryan Day was acknowledging.
I mean, not realistic from the perspective of Ryan Day has typically gone through a scrimmage, evaluated that scrimmage,
and then a second.
Gone through the second scrimmage. If you made improvement and you had a leader, then you validate that decision, and then that following week you name it. Like, maybe they will know on Monday. I don't mean to sound that as like it can't happen.
No.
But that's not the way that it's normally worked.
It just seemed like more so than in the past, he seems to understand that this team specifically, because of the lack of experience, because of the lack of long-time leadership, they need to move quickly as a group together soon, I think. Like, they need to be able to have an idea of, like, this is the guy we got to rally behind, let's go. And I think that the sooner you get that, the better. Now, I don't think you just force it. If neither Julian nor Lincoln takes the job, then I don't think you force it. But it did seem like they were of the mindset that it'd be better for this group to have it settled.
Yeah. But again, Ryan Day has never forced it before he was ready.
Right. And Ryan Day doesn't normally force anything, which is why him making a public discussion today about Austin Saraveld playing left tackle, I think is probably the most interesting thing that actually got discussed in the coaches press conference today.
Yeah, and then
immediately
I think he realized, he's like, people are going to just run with this and assume, because he said, what did he say? He said, secondary position.
Because he was asked about Ethan Anianwa and then started talking about Austin Sarivald at left tackle.
Yeah.
And then said, oh yeah, he's working there. And then he went, oh crap.
And then
backed it up and then said, well, but also
said, wait, secondary position.
But Ethan's playing inside and everyone's moving. So like now we've talked ad nauseum in the last couple months about this offensive line depth maybe being the best Ohio State's had in a decade. But Ryan Day on Tuesday morning seemed to be pretty comfortable saying, we've got five. It's just where they play and who's six. So who is actually six?
Yeah, he said, the depth is great. Now we're trying to figure out, you know, the top end. They figure out the starting lineup and the best configuration. And I would have thought, based on what we saw Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that they had already settled on that.
Yeah.
Now, that's why you have a lot of practices and you get different information and new information.
And that's why there's public practices and private practices in which the head coach then comes out and makes a comment that blows up everything that they tried to put forward in the public practice.
Yeah, but especially because they had 3 days where they could have had Austin Sarivald take reps on the left tackle. I think that to me is more like, that's why I would put more stock in what we saw in the first 3 days and understanding that things can change. And probably will change at some point. But, you know, it wasn't as if Luke Montgomery was at left guard one day and right guard another. And that can happen this week. Maybe that will be the full jumble up. But we've also seen this in other camps where you start that way because that's sort of where you expect it to settle. And then you throw a different wrinkle out there. Tyler Bowen has talked about this in the limited chances we've had to talk to him. He is next Tuesday, I believe, in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, where it's like, I think it's more like, all right, get in the spot where you're comfortable. This is where we think you're going to go. Now let's see that secondary position for a couple days, give you a little bit of adversity, give you something else to work on, and then you can take that back to your other position. Because I still, maybe I'll be wrong, I still don't think that this group is going to look any different than Ethan Onyanwa at left tackle, Luke Montgomery at left guard, Carson Hensman at center, Tegra Shibola at right guard, and Austin Sarivald at right tackle.
Seems likely, but that was weird. It was a weird comment because Ryan Day was asked about Ethan Anianwa and then went on a whole diatribe about how Austin Sarivald actually isn't shorter than their normal left tackles and he has the length and then he said, oh crap, you mean Ethan? So it was weird. I'm just saying.
We know that Ethan Anianwa has the size.
We've seen it. So it was a very peculiar. We can dissect that over the next week when we get to Tyler Bowen next Tuesday. But what else today? We'll talk probably more about Ross Bjork's announcements for the beat on Wednesday morning. You want to talk about that now?
I don't think we will. I don't, unless you have a stock up on the horseshoe.
I just think it's an interesting discussion. Obviously, Ohio State felt it was worthwhile for us to be here an hour early to talk to Ross Bjork about towels and entrances and band seating and the evolution of game day atmosphere at Ohio State. Was there one thing that caught your attention that you're like, oh, that'd actually be pretty cool?
I guess it's just because I already knew all these things were happening and they've been in the works for quite some time. I don't mean to be dismissive of it. I think having some sort of uniform identity, something tangible to hold on to is important. I wish that there was something you could invent that's not the exact same thing as the Pittsburgh Steelers use, just in a different
towel.
Yeah, like, I don't love it, but it's not like, if you did a pom-pom, they said, well, you're just stealing that from Penn State.
It's 2025. What is new, right? So I think the interesting thing here, and I know we have seen a lot of comments from people about Ross Bjork and his influence in year one. The fact is he definitely paid attention to what was happening on the road when Ohio State was going elsewhere.
And primarily one game.
Well, primarily the Oregon game, but everything that they've added, it seems like there's a goal. Like, hey, that was really cool when we visited here. I was talking to people about some of these changes, and they've even brought up like Purdue and how there's that stupid train horn at Purdue, and it's like right in the coach's ear, and it drives the head coach crazy. And so there's things you can do. Penn State and the stupid cat is another Ohio State said, okay, that works really cool there. That works really cool here. Let's bring it all back. And imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And so, cool. I think it'll be worthwhile to see how people respond to it. Ross Bjork, I know after he got done talking, was concerned that people would be upset about moving the timing of Hang on Sloopy. I don't think people care about the timing of Hangouts Loopy. Other than the...
There will be some that do, and I think...
The PA guy is the only guy in the stadium who's like intimately aware of the fact that it's Hangouts Loopy time.
Yeah. Well, it's the end of the third quarter. I mean, that's when it's been. And but I think... Because he had that conversation with you and I where it's like if you're in a blowout game and you're playing Grambling and someone won it, that was their first and only experience maybe in the horseshoe, you know, it's... They're going to be up by 60 points, and a lot of the fans won't be there for that. So if you need to play it at the end of the first quarter, or if you need to play it at the first television timeout, so that people get to experience it and remember it, like, so be it. I'm not so married to the fact that, and again, I'm not in the stands, and I didn't grow up going to the horseshoe. So people that have strong opinions on that, I certainly understand and defer to you. I think it would be better to hear it played in the horseshoe at any time, rather than have it exclusively be at the end of the third quarter when it might not matter.
When 30% of the crowd is walking out of the building at that point. So I think overall it's going to be a good change. I know the people that I spoke to today during Ross Bjork's press conferences and impromptu press conference were excited. They think it's going to be a good change. And again, all I care about from my perspective is that Ohio State is seeing the trends and adapting to them. And they saw...
they're trying.
They saw the Tennessee game, right? They were there. They know how different the atmosphere was. Yes, some of that's because it was at night. Some of it's because it was in the playoff. Some of it's because the CFP forced Ohio State to neuter itself and not do as much of the in-game stuff. Either way, they learned. And so I'm hopeful on August 30th. Scarlet out the shoe is the August 30th date. I asked, does this mean you're wearing the all-Scarlet uniforms? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay, what's the point of that? So black out the shoe against Penn State, not black uniforms. So just in case you're one of those people, like I just feel like, you know, there's cool things that they're doing.
Why do you need to have a blackout at noon?
That's a great question. I mean, normally people who are blacked out at noon are in Penn State.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a great point. I did think anything when you talk about timing, that's the first time that anybody at Ohio State's ever been like, you know what? We're doing too many things on the field with 3-minute scripts that people have to just sit on their hands and listen to. Shorten the scripts, move it off the field. That's... If you're talking about flow of the game and staying in the moment, that's, I think, going to make a huge difference. It's one of the most subtle and briefest comments that they made about adjusting it. I think it's probably going to be one of the most meaningful, to be honest.
It has to be. It completely shuts down any atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah. They've been bad at it for a very long time, ever since I started covering games here. So that's significant. And by the way, very significant for the actual on-field product for Ohio State is that Edric Houston... we'll be back within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Most specific injury update of all time from Ryan Day. I love it. I hope we get more. I doubt we will.
I assume that's just in line with the hyperextension, because at the time, once it was announced it wasn't a serious injury, the conversation was a week or so. And 48 hours from today would be a week. So, like, I think if today was a game day, let's just call it what it is. If today was Taco Tuesday at Ohio Stadium, and it was a game day, Edric Houston would have played today.
Yeah.
He is fine.
They're not going to have Taco Tuesday.
I want them to have Taco Tuesday at Ohio Stadium. Every Ohio State podcast football game played on a Tuesday, you get free tacos.
So you want them to play on Tuesday, or you just want to keep this gag going?
I'm just going to... It's not even really a funny gag, so sorry about that, America. I really botched it. But
there are other sports on campus that can play on Tuesdays.
Anything else today? Tuesday, in the Woody, quarterbacks, Billy Fess, Ryan Day. I thought, honestly, and I'm going to say this, and this is like a put it in your back pocket. Boy, oh boy, Tavian St. Clair is really, really polished when it comes to handling the media and talking to the media. Like, we didn't know if we were even going to talk to Tavian today, because Ohio State traditionally doesn't let the freshmen be involved, but when there's only three guys in the position group, I guess it makes sense. But
yeah.
If you sat those three down and you said, which of these guys is your starting quarterback, I'm telling you, there's a hefty percentage of people who would say Tavian St. Clair. The way that he handles the media, the way that he looks, the way that he is really, really good at it. But the most important thing, this is a kid who perspective-wise has completely understood, like, his life has changed. And this is not I'm going to walk into Ohio State, I'm going to be the starting quarterback anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, holy moly. This takes a lot more work than anybody told me.
If you put him in a lineup, physically, you'd say, yep, I'm going to take number 9 for my team. If you watched some of the throws on air, even as great as Julian Sayin is with the quick delivery and the accuracy and all the things that we always talk about, velocity on Tavian St. Clair is something else. You might say, I think I kind of like number nine. And then if you listen to a press conference, you'd say, that guy seems the most comfortable in this setting as well. I think I'll take number nine for that too.
It's a really impressive. And again, I think the most important thing is perspective. Like, there are a lot of people who believe that Tavian St. Clair was going to walk into Ohio State and be a competitor for the starting job this year. He believed that back in January. He stopped believing it pretty quickly. And now it's about resetting the expectations, recalibrating who you are, what you're judging yourself on. And Tavian seems to have really gotten a good grasp of what it's going to take. And so just put it in the pocket for next year. I don't know if we're doing a Wednesday stock watch or not, but
we are.
I'm going to take Tavian St. Clair first and foremost. So I'm going to put you, you on alert.
Little teaser for tomorrow's episode
of
The Beat.
I'm all in on him as the quarterback of this program in the future. But certainly not this year.
Well, so stick around. Wednesday morning on The Beat, Stocks are back because we'll be just 7 days in to training camp at Ohio State. It's moving quick, it's moving fast, and it's getting snappy.
Moving quick and fast.
Snappy around here. Snap judgments on 10TV, 10TV Plus, 97.1 The Fan, and anywhere that you download podcasts, and you get the audio-only feed. We appreciate however you watch or listen. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.
Ice Cube's Big Three is back. The most physical, fierce, and competitive basketball league on earth returns to CBS this Saturday. Three-time Big Three MVP ISO Joe Johnson and the reloaded Detroit Amps battle two-time Big Three championship coach Steven Jackson's DMV trilogy, followed by Big Three's most intense rivalry. Defending champions Miami 305 and Michael Beasley chasing his third straight MVP take on Dwight Howard, coach Nick Young, and the LA Riot. Watch Big Three Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on CBS. Catch replays Monday, 8 p.m. on BET.